Last night, they had these television cameras, had them lights. And I had a brother from India. I thought he's going to minister to us, and he did for just a few minutes. I don't know where the lights affected him or what, but he stayed a few minutes, and then he went and sat down, and we got one or two more. And finally, Brother Ward, he said, "My, it's hot up here." So the television cameras, they get a little bit warm. But anyway, we had two or three people speak to us last night. They got it on television cameras, for which I'm very grateful on the video. It was real good. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we got to minister to you. We enjoyed that. I love the Lord. I really appreciate the Lord. We have different ones coming from different places. And, of course, some of them come just to preach. They want to be there one night and let you know they're going to be there one night and they're going to preach. If you let them preach, and if you don't let them preach, they ain't going to come back no way. If you do let them preach, they ain't going to come back. They're just there to preach. They're not there to be in the camp meeting or encourage you to help the children of God and nothing else. We have people that are routinists. They just do that everywhere. Then we have people that come to camp meeting that they want to see if God's doing anything and if they can contribute anything to God's cause and to God's people. And if they can find a place in the heart of God, in the heart of God's people. You know, I appreciate Jehu coming up out of Texas. He's been up here with us a number of days. And he'll soon have to leave, but he come up to stay a number of days. And I see that, you know. If you have to go, well, I understand that. You know, people come, they get their vacation, they have to go back. And some people need a vacation. That is, they need to be fired and never put back on the job because they're so jobby and they're so money-minded till they feel like that they're just going to have a spell, you know, if they can't get back to that place. Praise God. Bad to have to clap for yourself, ain't it? All right. So then we got people like that. They're so gullible for money and prestige and praise of mankind. And they've done God in that routine so long until you can't get them to hear nothing or to see nothing. And it wouldn't make no difference if God sent them around the world. God would have to send them around the world in harmony with their job where they could be back on it Monday. That's the only way they could work with him. Hallelujah. I didn't even have to do it that time. All right. It reminds me of Jack the other night. Brother Jack Reagan was sitting out there, and I said something, and he stood up and waved both hands, you know. Jack preaching under the tent up there in Canton, preaching for him for a couple of nights. Most of you know it, that right after we left, somebody took a shot. They got their rifle, and they shot right into the tent, and they hit the post, and the bullet glanced off and hit somebody on the face, and it didn't injure them. But it was quite an ordeal. So you can't ever tell. People don't like for you to tell them the truth. I really had full intentions tonight of getting somebody to minister. And that's why I tarry so long a lot of times. You know, because I'd like to have somebody to minister. And we have people to come that can minister. But there's some times that I tarry, like I was telling Betty. I get up here, and I say, "I'm going to sit down, I'm going to sit down." And something says, "No, you're not." I say, "You know, I'm not going to be contrary to God. I'm not going to quench the Spirit." And something will say, "I don't want you to sit down. I'm talking." And I think, "Oh my God, it's God talking." And then I'll wait a little longer, you know, and I think, "I'll sit down. People are waiting for the preacher to come. I'll sit down." God will say, "No, I'm talking. And I want to talk till I get through." And then, of course, you know, a lot of times the people are real disappointed because they don't know the voice of God. And they are looking for a preacher or another preacher or a preacher or some preachers or one, two, three preachers. Ever how they want it, somewhere they have three in a night, you know, and real short sermons. Like a brother told me just before I come in, he was supposed to go somewhere and preach over in Mississippi. And he said this man come to him and told him that he didn't preach to his people more than 15 to 20 minutes, that they had to go to work. And I thought this brother was a little bit too long-winded. As I admit, some folks are too long-winded, but that's not God, that's just them. But sometimes God has a lot to say. So I find myself in a real complex, and that's the truth, so help me God. I won't forget when we opened this place here, I had ministers in a row. And I let them one right after another. I never stopped. I let them one right after another come up and minister. And then God gave me a vision. And in the vision, it was frowned on. And I kept saying, well, I'll say something. I'll say something. And then something in the vision let me know that what I was going to do was wait too late and not say what I was supposed to say to the people because of putting so many people up in line to say things. Everybody's got something to say, you know. And ministers, especially, there's ministers that have messages. But my conviction is this, folks. If a man isn't going to line up with the truth, why do you want to mess with a person like that? Why in the name of reasoning do you want to put him up before your people when you know that he's in error? And the Bible said if a brother is in error, you go to him and try to get him straightened out in the spirit of meekness. And then if he won't hear it, the Bible said, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly and have no fellowship with them. Paul told his people on one occasion over there, he came through. He said, I come back to instruct you about these people that's teaching contrary to what I told you. He said, don't mess with them people and don't let them have no part in what you're doing. Read it in the Bible. That's what he told them. He had the same problems we have. But if a man is trying to be holy, trying to be godly, trying to be pure, and he comes to a knowledge and he comes to a light and he stands up for this knowledge and stands up for this light, then you need to link arms with the brother. Even if he's weak, he may not have a reputation. He might not be known by very many people. But you need to reach out and get his arm if you have anything to offer him and pull him in and put him up before the public. Radio programs, television programs, whatever, you need to do something right there, friend, and help him and push him out front. And these others that's just seeking all this foolishness, you need to get them out of there. Get them out. The Bible said, purge out the old leaven and be a new lump, which brings something to my mind right now. I've been praying. I said, Lord, I know I'm getting into Cuba. I know I'm getting into Cuba. I said, we're getting into just about all of the islands, and we're getting mail. I said, and I know I'm getting into Cuba. But the constraint over there, I said, must be so great, I can't get a response. So I prayed, and it was today or yesterday maybe. When was it, Betty? Today, we got a response from Cuba. And they wrote from Cuba and said, Brother Pike, said, this means so much. This helps us so much. And said, it's doing so much for my life. And so then around the world goes the wonderful word of God and the things of God, and you're the people that's hurling it around the world. You're the ones that's helping to bring the gospel into those places. We have so many letters that's come out of the different islands. I'm talking about just about all of the islands and out of South America, Central America, and we have so many letters that's coming in that tells us what this means to them. Like one that came in out of Guyana quite a long while ago and said, Brother Pike, this message you're preaching on the dispute of the body, I just got to have more of it. And down at the Panama Canal, received a letter from down at the Panama Canal. And I mean, received numbers of letters. I'm just mentioning one or two letters. Numbers of letters from different places in the different parts of the world. And God has been so good to us. We've received mail as far as London and Africa from radio broadcasts. So God is helping us, and God is working with us. And we're trying to do our little bit over here on this corner of the earth, trying to hurl the gospel around the world. I want to commend my people one more time concerning the trip to Israel and ministering there for the people that we had the privilege to minister for or to the people. We've received some gracious letters, and they praised the people of Little Bethlehem and said, truly indeed, that was a move of God. As the different tracts went out to the Muslims and to the Hebrews and different kind of people, and the word of God and testimony day and night as our people intermingled with them, and they were so thrilled and looking forward to seeing you come again. And even in Alaska, even though our brother has returned from Alaska, while we were there, some things was really stirred up as we preached for the full gospel businessmen and as we preached for the church of God. And of course, as I said, we had invitations to preach for the Salvation Army and the Episcopal Church in my land. I don't know, all kind of the Church of God in Christ. But we just got to a few of them. And even in Israel, preaching there at the Baptist Church, having a chance to minister on the Sea of Galilee, whatever, it was a real privilege to be able to minister the gospel of the Son of God. So then, I want to commend you as to saying I appreciate you so much. I really do. Reading in chapter 31 of the book of Isaiah, I want to read this. I love you folks. I really genuinely love you. I care for you. And I want to help you. And even in the morning service, I believe you got some help this morning from the different ones that spoke or whatever was said. And I want you to remember this service is tomorrow morning. I want to help you. I could care less about preaching to you. You know, if it was a matter of preaching, there's a lot of things that you could do. You could hunt, you could fish, you could eat, you could ride. You could go around seeing the world, you could relax, you could do all kinds of things. So it isn't a matter of preaching to you. I want to help you. If I can't help you, there's no need of me preaching to you or talking to you. I want to help you. Now you might say, Brother Pike, I don't need any help, and especially from you. Well, that's all right. But then again, would you be so foolish to come here? Well, somebody would say, well, I come to hear somebody else. Well, if that be the case, then all you have to do is come back to tomorrow night, and maybe somebody else will be preaching. Come back tonight that somebody else is preaching. See, but right now, I'm speaking to those that came to receive help, that's concerned about their souls, that wants me as a shepherd or whoever to help them find eternal life. You know why that the sheep followed Jesus? For one reason. He said, my sheep know my voice and they will follow me. He said, a stranger they will not follow. He said, you know why they follow me? He said, because I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. Listen to me now, folks. If I can't give you eternal life, you don't need to follow me. You don't need to follow me. But if I can give you eternal life, you need to follow me. You need to follow me. You love the Lord? How do you know that we was passing out eternal life this morning? How do you know that that was eternal life was passing out? The other morning when we talked to you about condemnation and moving it, how many of you know that we were passing out eternal life? Jesus said, not the preacher speaking, but me. I've come to give you life. And that you might have life more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing, because I am the Prince of Life, Jesus said. You know, I can't say what I want to say. The reason I can't is because I'm so overjoyed. I'm so overjoyed with what I know and understand. And what God has revealed to me, folks, it is so great, it is so mighty, until my innermost being just bubbles over all the time, day and night. I hope God will kill me if that isn't right. Right now, kill me before you. Somebody says, well, he isn't going to do that. Well, he could. Hope he does, if that isn't true. I'm bubbling over. I'm not trying to get you enthused and trying to enthuse you or stir you up, which I wish you would get stirred up. But folks, I'm here to share my enthusiasm with you. I really, truly, from the bottom of my soul, I found something. I found joy unspeakable and full of glory. I found something that's bubbling in my soul that's pushing in every direction. I found something that brings me to such a state of ecstasy that I want to express it so much, but I don't have the words adequate for the purpose. The half has never yet been told. And deep down in my soul, it's like a mighty, mighty well of water that's staring within my soul and moving. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's okay. I still feel it anyway. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying it just as much, whether you believe it or don't believe it. You know, it's like a man eating ice cream. You might not believe he's eating it. You might think you're having strong delusions. But he's enjoying it just as much. I'm enjoying this just as much as whether you believe it or don't believe it. All right, chapter 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. We don't have anybody like that tonight, do we? We have anybody that goes down to Egypt for help? Are you looking to the world? Do you depend on the things of the world? And stay on horses and trust in chariots, you know, cars, houses, whatever, because they are many and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his word, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now, the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that epeth shall fall, and he that is holden shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of waters in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the curl said to be bountiful, for the vile person will speak villainly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the curl are evil. He devised wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and girt sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tits, for the pleasant field, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palace shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The fort and the tower shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. I want you to notice one or two things here. One thing, it says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. This is the thing that I was speaking of a little earlier. A king shall reign in righteousness. Do you know that we have never at any time in the history of the world ever had a king that actually reigned in righteousness? There's never been any record of one. Even Solomon erred. Even David erred. All of the great men of old, all of the kings and queens around the world have erred. And they have gone astray, and they have pulled everything to their own advantage. And every man has went to his own way, turned to his own house to do his own thing, and did not look unto God to establish a kingdom in righteousness. But if the Bible says that a king shall reign in righteousness, that I am of the opinion that there's going to be a king that will reign in righteousness. God is going to bring forth the king, and we're on the verge of that right now. We are right at that very moment when God is beginning to move to bring forth the king in righteousness. God is ready to bring forth the king in righteousness. We're right now at that time of life to where there is a people that's beginning to come together, and these people are beginning to relate one to another to where they can come together in a righteous, godly, holy atmosphere and in a godly body and a godly way of life, that they may anoint a godly king that will rule over them in righteousness. Folks, when you speak of righteousness, there is but one righteousness. The Bible said all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. All of our efforts is like filthy rags. Though the Jews were very pious, all of their efforts was like filthy rags. So then when it speaks of a righteousness, it is speaking of God and His righteousness, for there is no such thing as a righteousness outside of God. This is why the Bible said when the two men came up into the temple that one was justified by the righteousness of God and the other went down to his house unjustified. He came before God and he said, I fast and I pray and I tithe of all that I possess. But God didn't take notice to him. Israel said, we've cried all day long. We've fasted. We prayed. Why is it that thou takest no knowledge? And the other man that lifted up his voice to God said, God, have mercy on me. And the Bible said the justification came. He had nothing to offer. The Jew had everything. The self-righteous man had everything. But the old Gentile or that one that didn't know God didn't have anything. He just called on God. And the Bible says that unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, which was self-righteousness, those things that they'd done through self-discipline, unless it exceeds those things that you trust in, even many Pentecostal people, in trusting in their own works of righteousness, all of those kind of things, unless it exceeds that, God said that you can't be saved. You've got to have God righteousness, the excelling righteousness, the righteousness of the Son of God. You've got to have His righteousness. That's why that I said what I did today when we talked about what John said about unrighteousness. We brought out a message here not too long ago concerning that scripture of unrighteousness because we had a confrontation. We had some people that come down, confronted us out of Atlanta, Georgia, or that area, some kind of group that they got up there. And they brought a confrontation concerning this. When I made the statement, I said, he that is born of God cannot sin. Folks, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to project myself or prove to you that I know a whole lot more than you know when I say this. But I challenge anybody in the world, anywhere, to prove to me that that's not true. The Bible says he that is born of God, he cannot sin. He cannot sin. Come on, folks. I say that it might ring all the way back to the days of Adam and Abraham, all the way through the days of Paul, and all the way down through the church ages to the day that we're living in. He that is born of God, he cannot sin. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, but what if he does? There's no what if he does, he can't sin. Somebody said, well, it don't mean that. Well, you better come around and tell me what it does mean, because I'm putting this in the ears of a lot of people. Not only here, but on the radio and everywhere else. See, you say, but I know some preachers, Brother Pike, that's gone on that was great men of God, and they taught different. Why? I know that might be true, and no doubt some of them were great men. And I have nothing to say against them because some of them were men of God. But I say this, they either did not understand or they were wrong. They were wrong either way. But they either did not understand and God forgave them for it because they didn't understand, or because of self-will they'll have to meet God at the judgment. So I was confronted with this, and I'm always confronted. Seemed like I'm always confronted. But I said, they that are born of God, they can't sin. Folks, don't you know there is no way for a person to be translated and go out of this world thinking that they sin every day? Don't you know that there's no way that God can rapture a church that's sinning every day? Come on, folks. How can God take you out of here? The Holy Spirit is what picks you up. The Holy Spirit is what translates you. And the only way the Holy Spirit can translate you is by faith. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. If you're planning to escape death, if you're just a churchy person, just going to church, wanting to be Pentecostal, just looking for some kind of preeminence or some denominational church so that you can have prestige to hold down a certain job, don't worry about it. But if you're looking for eternal life and you're expecting to be translated that you not see death, then you're going to have to believe what I say. You're going to have to come into the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And the hearing of the Word of God comes by the minister that's sent of God. So then, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. He must come to the knowledge of this so that he can have that perfect faith. We're set here for the perfecting of your faith. And you've got to come to this place, beloved friend, so that you can have this perfect faith. So that your faith will be able to pick up the wonderful translating spirit and power of God. And God can change the mortal genes of your body. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. So then, John said, all unrighteousness is sin. But I remind you again, he also said, Christ was manifested to take away our sins, and that God brought him to do away with all unrighteousness. For God is just to forgive you of all your sins and all of your unrighteousness. So then, when Jesus died, when he was made my sin, that I might be made his righteousness in God, as Paul said. When he came and was delivered from my offenses, then God took away my sins. When God made an image of sin, and took it to Calvary, and smote that image of sin, it was the end of Brother Pike and the flesh and all of his sins. And today it's not me living, but it's Christ living on the inside of me. And the life I live by the Son of God who gave himself for me. So here we are, folks. What are we doing? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, this is so different. How are we going to preach that? People aren't going to accept that. Let me tell you something. The ones that are elect will accept it. The ones that are called of God will accept it. The Bible said, as Paul preached, many of them rejected it. And Paul shook his raiment
and said, "Your blood be upon your own head." But the Bible said, "As many as were before of old ordained unto eternal life," they believed Paul. And the people said, "We want to hear more about this." So we say again, can a man that is a Christian sin? No, he cannot sin. Why is it he cannot sin? Because his sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. The writer said, "That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone." Did God save me in my sins? Nay, he saved me from my sins. I'm not sinning every day. God took away my sins and took me away from sin. And I'm dead to the law, which is of sin. For sin gets its strength by the law, and the Bible calls it the law of sin and death. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I cannot transgress the law, because I'm not alive to transgress the law. I'm buried with Christ Jesus in baptism. I'm not alive to the law. I'm dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm buried in baptism in his lovely name as to be identified with him. So then, can a man sin? No, he cannot sin. He is born of God. The Bible said, "And the seed of God, which is the word of faith, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." It doesn't say that he may not sin. It says he cannot sin. Somebody said, well, what's all these things I'm doing, Brother Pike? Well, in the first thing, you don't need to be doing all them things you're talking about. If you'd straighten up with God, you wouldn't be doing those things. Somebody said, but all of these sins that I'm doing, Brother Pike, I'm a child of God, I'm doing all these sins. No, you're not a child of God, or you wouldn't be doing any sin. Because children of God don't sin. You say, well, Brother Pike, what about when I stumble and when I stagger, when I'm doing my very best? That's not sin. That's why Jesus, when they asked him to teach them to pray, he said, "Pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses." Those are trespasses, not sin. If you ever sin one time, you'd be eternally doomed and damned. A Christian cannot sin. He said, "Well, I believe, Brother Pike, you can fall." The Bible said, "You good man, fall seven times and get back up." So then there is no way that a Christian can sin. I told you today that whether you be just a little babe in Christ, or whether you be great in Christ, is going on to the development of the understanding of Christ. If you be a little babe in Christ, you're just as saved as Brother Pike or any others. If we've been in the gospel 20 years and you've only been in the gospel one day, if you've genuinely been born again of the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit, you're just as saved as you can be. You will never sin, never sin. You'll never sin before the world ever was. God kept you from sin, and the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And it was brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary that it might be preached to the church ages, and that when our day came as to our generation to be born, that we could comprehend this great wonderful light and understanding of the heights, depths, and the length of these wonderful things. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God as to your Godship, as to your sonship, as to what you are. Notice it now. And so it was said here, don't go down to Egypt. Said, those people are not gods. Why go down to Egypt? Why would you do that? Those people are not gods. But folks, go to the church. Those people are gods. Jesus said, "Ye are gods." Go to those people. Those are those of eternal regime. Those are the sons of God. Those are they that have passed from death unto life. And I say again to you, when he says pass from death unto life, it means that you have got around the lake of fire. It is the second death that you pass from. You have passed from the death unto life. That is, your angelic being will never be separated from the great eternal spirit, which is God the Father. For death is separation of your spirit, your angelic being, from God the eternal Father, the eternal spirit. That is death. But to go to sleep Your body, your spirit, leaving your body. They use the term the body without the spirit is dead. Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. First he said Lazarus sleepeth. They didn't understand that. He said Lazarus is dead. Because he knew there was not spiritual. So then he said, I go to awake him. Well, if he'd have been dead, Jesus would have never been there to awaken. Because Jesus was the Holy Spirit personified. He was the Heavenly Father within a human body. And God's kingdom isn't divided. And if God had separated Lazarus' spirit, his angelic being, from the great God of heaven as to himself, then Jesus wouldn't have been around there because he was following the leadership of God. So then I say this to you tonight. See, you're just as safe as you can be. You may go to sleep. Everyone will sleep. Unless that great Thessalonian change comes. Everyone will sleep. Unless that great Thessalonian change comes. But the thing is this. Though you sleep in your body, yet you are not dead. Somebody said, well, bless God, Brother Pike. If you're dead, you're dead. That shows your ignorance. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know there's not just a little difference. But there is an entire world of difference between sleeping and dying. When your angelic being separates from God, you're dead and you go into a lake of fire to be tormented. But friend, when you go to sleep, it might just be you, me, or anyone else at any time. But when you go to sleep, all you've had to happen to you is that your spirit has departed from your body, and your body has been laid down to sleep, and your spirit went back to God who gave it, and you're very much alive, as it was when they saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and when they saw Abraham in paradise. I go over in the Holy Land, I see the tomb, some of the brethren saw the tomb, there lays Abraham, there lays Sarah in the tomb, no doubt about it, they're buried there. But how is it if they're in the tomb? That somebody can look across the great gulf and say, Father Abraham, and I see Lazarus in the bosom of Father Abraham. What is Abraham doing up there? Why isn't Abraham over yonder the tomb? Because there is a rent veil called Calvary. And the rent veil took my spirit out of my body and Abraham's spirit out of his body. And when these bodies laid down to sleep, those angelic beings go back to God who gave it. And there in paradise, they're hid with Christ and God whom the heavens have received until the restoring of the restoration of all things. So then, can a man sin? No, he cannot sin when he is born of God. Just because you are a believer, it doesn't mean that you are born of God. Just because you are a believer, it doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. It means that you are a candidate for the Spirit of God. And you are in the presence of the Spirit of God. And you have opportunity to the Spirit of God. But the Bible said if you have not His Spirit, then you're none of His. You must be born of the Spirit. I say this again. A child is born into the world, but it can be a stillbirth. The child can be here, but no life. See, and many people are born into the world. They come into the world, millions of people, billions of people. But many of them are a stillbirth. They are not eternally ordained an eternal life. It is not a foreordination. God did not see them in life. God saw them in this world. But he didn't see them in life. The Bible said as many as were foreordained unto life believed. They are still birth, and they do not come into the presence of God. Go through life, the grace of God is upon them. Let me say this, a lot of people, they don't understand this. Maybe they won't receive this, you know, it's up to you. But it's true anyhow. My wife asked me a question concerning this. I judge by that as close as she is, as much as she knows. Then others perhaps would have a question concerning this. Folks, listen. At this present time, at this present moment of distress, at this present time, listen now, at this present time, the sins of the entire world is gone. The man that's out here doing the evil that he's doing hath no more sin than you do. Oh, my God, Brother Pike, you've jumped clear out of orbit. He hath no more sin in the sight of God. The blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement. It is the days of grace to where God can pour out His Spirit on the unjust. He must sanctify the unjust by the days of grace to where He can get to them and we can get to them and preach to them and woo them unto righteousness. For surely the love of God constraineth me. God so loved you while you were yet in your sins that He gave Jesus to die for you. You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? That can't be. How is it the Bible said that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife, unless your children be unclean? My wife asked the question, said, but tell me something. She said, if that's true, it is true. He said, how do you know it's true? Because the Bible said Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. And that's the only way that the world can continue, is by the grace of God and the reign of His grace and love being poured out on them people. You know why? You know why it's like that? Betty said, but what if they die? I said, it's the same way as a man and wife come together. The unbelieving is sanctified by the believing. Else your children be unclean. But now are they whole in the sight of God? So then what do? The man is sanctified. A wretch sanctified, sucking on a cigar, puffing on a pipe. Come on, folks. I said it could be a wretch. He could be smoking. He could be cursing, doing all those evil things, and still be sanctified. Still be sanctified. And the Bible said, in the unbelieving man. The unbelieving. It didn't say the believing. It didn't say the Christian. It said the unbelieving man is sanctified by the believing wife. That's why there's a church. See, God still has Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. But the day that Lot goes out, the Bible said in that very day God rained fire and brimstone down. And when the church goes out, then comes the fire and the brimstone. Right now with the salt of the earth. So then, God has sent a sanctification. And God is watching over them people. And their sins are gone in the sight of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus. They eat, they drink, they frolic, they do the things of the world. And they get by with it. And they get by with it as to a momentary thing. Because they have a dispensational grace. And they go to the church. Look, folks. Somebody said, them old Baptist, Methodist, Catholic churches. I'm talking about they go to the UPC, the Jesus Name churches. Come on, folks. They go to the Pentecostal churches. And they still do the evil things that they do. But they're sanctified. They're sanctified. You say, how can you prove that? Because their tables are full of vomit. Come on, folks. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what in the world are you talking about? I said the Pentecostal tables are filled with vomit. The Baptist tables are filled with vomit. The UPC tables are filled with vomit. All of my tables are filled with vomit. Hallelujah. Lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's vomit. A lukewarm, Laodicean church. Loving the things of the flesh. Satan. Volleyball. Swimming. Making money. Prestige. That ain't God. Somebody said that's God. That's the devil. The Bible said Satan savors the things that be of this world. He loves the things that be of this world. When you're going after those things, don't you tell nobody that's God. Somebody said, but God has blessed me financially, Brother Pye. The Bible said, supposing that worldly gain is godliness, from such turn away. You didn't bring nothing into the world, and it's for sure you're going to take nothing out. All of this prestige sort of a thing that's going through the world today. Prosperity and all these other things, and PTL and all these other things. Look at Jim Baker. I don't mean to take a text on Jim. Jim's repented of some things. I trust God will bring him out. But look at Jim Baker. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Naboth's Vineyard. Have you ever read about Naboth's Vineyard? It reminds me of Naboth's Vineyard. They kept playing around with Naboth, and they wanted his vineyard, and they didn't know what to do about it. The world wants your vineyard, folks. It'd love to take Bethlehem and desecrate it. It would love to take every church and desecrate it. Everywhere God begins to do something, the world begins to move in. You understand? The old red dragon of the blood life, the bloodstream, laying there to devour the child as quick as it's born into the world, wanting to make a movie star out of it, a ball player out of it, a television star out of it, a singer out of it. That old blood life laying there, waiting every time the church gives birth to something. So then, as it was with Jim Baker, what happened? They said to Naboth, "Oh, Naboth," Jezebel says, "you are the man of the hour. Behold the man of the hour. Give him everything he wants. Whether it's PTL, whether it's television, whatever it is, set him up on high. Because we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. The spider's going to weave the web with the dewdrops of the morning. And we're going to kill him. Set him up on high. The great man of the hour." And gullibly they go after it. They swallowed up. Swallowed up. And what happened? The very friends that Jim Baker trusted in, the movie stars and all the celebrities, he wanted them on his program. He wanted to rub elbows with them. He wanted to be like them. He wanted to be out there with them. "Now I'm big," you know, as Jim would say, or someone would say. "There you are, now you're big. You rub elbows with all of the dignitaries and the celebrities." But the same man is the one that closed in on him. The same ones. Billy Graham, I understand, said on his program, "Helped to build Jim Whip here." Jim got whipped there, and Billy made the statement, "I understand that this was a report, true report." And Billy said, "I feel like part of the family of PTL." You know, Jim had taken Billy's house, put it over there at Heritage Village. Jim, cunning and shrewd, he knew what he was doing. "So then, I feel part of it." But when the little disgrace came, and when the thing happened, and when they begin to close in, Billy began to kill him. Billy began to come against him. Billy began to say things against him. Pat Robinson, look at Pat. Pat rubbed elbows with Billy and the great celebrities. And he felt like he was really something. Exalt him. Lift him up on high. Put him up there. And when he got up there, he decided he wanted to be president. When he decided he wanted to be president, he started to run for president. And the world knew that he was fixing to get his hands on the pie, as we say. Billy hit him with everything he had. Billy Graham, the great Billy Graham, hit him with all he had. Knocked him slap down. Hit him, said, "Speaking in tongues, I don't believe in that." Started talking about, "You say God speaks to you, I don't believe in that. We don't need nobody like that for president." Knocked him slap down. You understand what I'm saying? Had an Assembly of God girl to come up to our place while I was having a meeting over here in Cherokee. And she was just a pouting with Billy Graham. "I've always loved Billy Graham. I've helped Billy Graham. Always done this, you know." She never was straight from the time I ever knew her. But anyway, she said, "And to think that he'd say the things that he said." You know, they said, "Jesus saying that, you reproach me." What Billy said reproached them. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, it's like Oral Roberts. Put him up on high. Get the fellowship. Bring the mayors out. Bring the celebrities out. All of these kind of things. Get him up there, the man of the hour, great and mighty. And God did bless the man, just like he did Jim and the others. But then get him up there and then smite and kill him. And that's what they've done. Killed him. Jimmy Swagger the same way. Pick him up. Set him up on high. Let him go with the television shows. Let him have all of these things. Why is God doing this? Because those men play around with the world. They won't preach the name of Jesus Christ. They don't preach holiness. Somebody said, "But he's Pentecostal." What's that got to do with it? Ain't nothing said about God being Pentecostal. The Bible said he's the spirit of holiness. And Paul said, "I serve God with my spirit and with my mind." So then, what is it with these people? Ball games. Ball games. Whether it's the Church of God ball game, or the Assembly of God ball game, or the PTL ball game, or the Old Roberts ball game, all of it's of the devil. All of it's going to lead people into hell. It's of the world, and the world loveth its own. And naturally the world puts things behind it. Just like PTL, they said the other day, Falwell went up there. Paul Falwell pulled a cunning thing, as shrewd and cunning as a fox. Jim trusted in him, and when he got his hands on it, he kicked Jim out. What is it? The whole thing's a mess. The reproach of God. But God did that. The great falling away so God could bring a holy people in and put a holy people together so that they could be translated and there'd be a difference between the world and the church. See, Falwell, they said he was up there at the Heritage Village and there was a lot of protesters. And they were protesting and they said, get out, get out, get out. Said he had to leave. Said because they told him that you don't have any investment in this. The world loves its own. So then we're going to close in just a few minutes, but we're going to say a few more words first. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So you say, Brother Pike, what are you saying? I'm saying that real children of God are free from sin. Real children of God don't sin. Real children of God don't mess with the world. But I don't want to create a snare for you. So I want you to understand. You see what has happened to the world and mixing darkness with light or trying to. You see what God has done. You see what has come out of that. I told you it was that in Revelation it showed the second heaven, Lucifer's place. That religious thing, and yet the world, there is no second heaven. That second heaven was of Lucifer. He put it together and God's breaking it down as a middle wall of partition because there is a first heaven and there is a second heaven, a third heaven, and the second heaven is there. But only in the sense that God has made both good and bad angels. And that is the rending of the veil. And those people that are falling, the moon of stars, it indicates in typical form that those things are falling from heaven. Those are falling from heaven. Something is taking place. If you're not spiritual, you won't understand when that day comes. But we know when it's nigh even at the door. So let me tell you this. See, when you are born a little babe in Christ Jesus... Beloved friend, when you are born a little babe in Christ Jesus, you are forever eternally secure. I want to run through this right quick now. You have eternal life. You have passed from death unto life. Somebody says, I gotta live good. And if I live good, I'm going to make it into the kingdom of God. If I hold on, got to go through this life. I got a pro and con. And I got to weigh this out. If this outweighs this and that outweighs that. And when I stand before God, you know, this and that and the other. Folks, that's a bunch of confusion. That ain't got nothing to do with salvation. The Bible said that God has sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified. And the Bible said He not only has done that, but He has glorified them as well as justified them. In the foreknowledge of God, you are a full ordained vessel unto eternal life. And when you are born into the world, in the world of God, to acknowledge that you are alive from that moment, eternally alive. You are eternally alive. I say again, you're born into this world. You can't get out of this world unless you die out of this world. And beloved friend, when you're born into that world, you can't get out of that world, period, because you can't die. That's what eternal life is. I say again, Adam and Eve never had eternal life. They were in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. But we're not in the presence of the Shekinah. Those that are in the world are in the presence of the Shekinah. I'm born to the Shekinah glory of God. I have it on the inside of me. There's no way I could lose eternal life. If you lost that, how can you say that you can lose eternal life? How can it be eternal if you can lose it? There's nothing eternal about that. Adam and Eve was enticed out from under the Shekinah. When the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, that's going to be lifted out yonder in the world. And there's not going to be any grace, not going to be any rain on the just, unjust. See? So then you and I are born of it. When it's lifted, what difference does it make? I've got God on the inside of me. See, that little baby, I travail till Christ be formed in you. That little God child on the inside is perfect. The Bible said He keepeth Himself and the evil one toucheth Him not. Because He cannot sin, you're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You say, but what about my body, Brother Pike? The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. Sinful flesh. God done away with the flesh at Calvary. He killed it. He buried it. That's how the devil got in. Them people out yonder, God had to do away with their sins of the flesh just to be able to do away with your sins of the flesh. But he done away with their sins of the flesh by putting the blood up there to do away with the sins of the whole world. And during the Spirit of grace, you and I that are ordained to the eternal life would believe and come and receive the Shekinah glory on the inside of us. And then when God lifted that up there, we'd be holy and godly. We're out of the flesh. God has chosen us out of this world, out of this flesh, out of the sinful flesh. Hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Saying, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, sitting in the heavenly places, and then saying unto us that we are not to condemn ourselves over those things that we allow. That is when we slip and stumble. Not willful, alas, but when we slip and stumble. I am not to condemn myself over that. The Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he allowed. That is, if I slip and stumble, why should I condemn myself? The Bible says, God knoweth all things. He knows whether I'm a son of God or not a son of God. My sonship is not based on the fact that I trespass or don't trespass. What child is it that doesn't trespass when it's growing up? What child is there that's without chastisement? Then are ye bastards, the Bible said, if ye are, without chastisement. But God loveth them and chastens them that he does love. And he loves them that he chastens because they're his children. So then, what do? I have a job. My job is to bring up the rear, as we say. My job is to take this body and perfect holiness in the fear of God. My job is to make this body conformed to righteousness, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ by everything that's right and holy and like God that's in the Word. It's my job to put on the full armor of God, to put ye on your beautiful garments, Zion. Arise, for your light has come, your light, your understanding, this great wisdom that makes a man's faith to shine, this revelation. Arise, the hour of the mind of Christ is here. Three minds, all of them working using one brain. So then arise, put on your beautiful garments, but don't come into the wedding supper without the garment, lest you be bound. See, don't do that. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, all of these people are coming into the wedding supper. The invitation has gone out. They're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, but the one thing they're not doing is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not putting on the garment. God said, I counsel of you to buy... for me, raiment has been tried in the fire. Only the body of the Lord Jesus has been tried in the fire. Put ye on the beautiful garment, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm his righteousness because he became my sin. So then, I said that then, this to make a point right here. See, what do? The Bible said, if I do the things that please him, hereby I assure my heart before him, and then do I have confidence in him that he heareth me. And if I know that he hears me, I know that I have the petition that I desire of him because I do the things that please him. So then eliminating condemnation. For there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. For ye are not in the flesh but in the spirit. And you pass from death unto life. And you're in heavenly places. And he's made you gods. He's made you gods. Oh, I could say some more things. I said some things this morning. I won't say them here. I'll try to hurry along close. Beloved friend, we've got a job. And that is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But all the time I'm doing that, if I stumble, if I stagger, has nothing to do with my salvation. Though I sanctify myself daily as to bring this body into the place of redemption, though the redemption price has already been paid, though the blood has already been given, though I'm already redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, Paul said, I seek to present you body, soul, and spirit to God blameless. The Bible said, gone to the full reward. See, though I'm doing this, I stumble, I stagger, it's only a trespass, not charged against me. See, don't you understand? See, if I have a little baby, a little child, he's my little baby, he's my little boy, she's my little girl. I don't care how much she stumbles, I'll give her my hand again and lift her up. Because she fell on her face and she's crying, that don't mean she was put out of the family. That doesn't mean she don't belong to me. She's my baby. I love her. I'm going to help her. And every time she whimpers, I'm going to help her. Or every time he whimpers, I'm going to help him. He's my baby. See, he's growing up. I'll keep working with him. See, you're God's little baby. You're God's little child. You've been caught up to the throne of God on the inside, the kingdom of God within you. And God is cuddling you. And you're developing in the great loving Holy Ghost. The life in you is bringing you to maturity. On to the diplomacy. Day after day, the schooling to the diplomacy of sonship. So then, I'm saying this, folks. That we've got a job to do. We've got a job to do. And we've got to get in there and do it. Fasting, praying, whatever. For one reason. And that is because we are waiting to wit the redemption of this body. You understand what I'm saying? See, the adoption, coming to adoption. I want to say this again. We are coming to the time of the bar mitzvah. We are coming to the time of the adoption. What does it mean when we say adoption? We're coming to the time of the adoption. It means that because this body was born to the first man, Adam, it must be adopted into the God family. It cannot be born into the God family. The spirit on the inside can be born into the God family. Because sin is to the flesh, sinful flesh. Within the body is no good thing. You're not in the flesh. The body must be adopted in. So we wait for the adoption. God is going to adoption, going to bring an adoption by the law. He'll bring the adoption by the law, in that the law is folded up and laid away. Christ took it away. Now, the right to adoption as to the near kinsman. We have the right to adoption, and we're patiently waiting for the adoption. So, what have I done? I have been circumcised. I say again, when we think about a circumcision, we think of the little male that opens the matrix as holy unto God. You know, but to be circumcised is to strip down, to take away, to remove the veil. Calvary brought the circumcision. That was the covenant of God, that we might know the circumcision. So then God has unveiled our heart. He's circumcised our heart. God has taken away the veil of the outer man to the flesh. Not because He's against you as a human body, but against the infiltration that's in your body. So He baptized you in the river in the name of Jesus. He buried you in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the veil is moved and the flesh is no more. And you are a spiritual being, an angelic being, and no more living soul unto God, but a quickening spirit. And you no more dwell in the earth as in the flesh, but your angelic being went back to God who gave it at the death of your body. And your body had been buried in baptism and the circumcision. A baptism has taken away the old man to make you part of the covenant of God. And today you are free from sin and unrighteousness. Never will there ever be a day that you sin. You're God's little darling. You're God's little son. You're God's little lady. You are God's. Always, eternally, and forever. One thing the angel said, peace on this earth. Peace on this earth. Shepherds, peace on this earth. At last, it has come. And he said, goodwill to man. Goodwill to man. When the devil is slapping you around and the devil's oppressing you and the devil's harassing your mind, the devil's accusing you, just say, the Bible says goodwill toward me. And I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ by believing in what He done for me. It's always goodwill. It don't matter. You say, oh, I'm a wretch. My God, He cast me down. He's so angry, I just tremble. Never be a day like that. Always it's goodwill toward you. He never changes His attitude. The same yesterday, today, and forever. All you've got to do is just get all the mud out of your eyes. Get down there and pray until you can get straight again. It is strange how that you're such a wretch and you're cast down and you can't make it. Oh my God, I'm lost. God, I'm doomed. I've done this and I've done that. And then you whine and you cry a little bit and you get up and say, well, praise God, I'm all right now. Now, isn't that strange? You know, the Lord went through all of that. He said, get out of here. I have no part of you. I won't have any part of you. And then He said, well, I don't know. You can't come back. You know, since you whine and cry, you know no foolishness like that goes on with God. He has one attitude. The only thing that changes is your believing. The only thing that changes is your thinking. The only thing that changes is the fact that you let the mud get in your eye and the devil slaps you around. You didn't please God, so your heart condemned you. You know, it condemned you, and so you're cast down and your faith is pulled away. But if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He knows you're His son. But if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God and receive the things that we say concerning Him or ask of Him. I want you to stand with me now. I could go on and go on and go on. But I said these few things tonight to substantiate what I said in the beginning. They that are born of God cannot sin. So I'm telling you this.
This is what I'm telling you.
In that you can't sin. Now you know that you can't sin.
So,
now that you know you can't sin, let's be about the Father's business. Let's stop this childish condemnation of up and down and in and out and just going over and over, laying the foundation of repentance. Let's go on to perfection because we're already perfected by His works. And I'm here to perfect your faith by preaching the Word so that you can believe in the full benefit of what God has given to you, to really know your eternal securities. That's what I'm here for, just to reveal to you these things, and by that you'll believe, and that'll make your faith complete, for you are complete in Him. So then growing up and learning about our environment, learning about the heavenly things, learning where we're at, this is great. So let's be about our Father's business. Don't go down to Egypt for help. Let's be about our Father's business, beloved friend. And let's quit being under condemnation and letting the devil ride our shoulders all the time to make us feel bad every time we want to pray for the sick, every time we want to do something, every time we want to go out, every time we want to believe for something. Condemnation, and down we go. But He said, if thou canst believe, say what you will. I'll repeat as I did this morning. Say what you will, I will do it. Decree a thing in your heart, it will come to pass. Happy is he that doth not condemn himself. Don't tear your faith down and take away your seal so that the devil can tear you up. Do the things that please God. Don't give place to the devil. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like a bulldog getting a hold of you. Stay out of his pen. Stay out of his way. He'll snag and he'll jerk and he'll tear. And you'll have to go through the patchwork. Stay away from him. Stay away from the devil. When he was in service, they had a little off limits. They said, don't go down there. Don't go down there. Them people will get you. The ones that went down there, the people got them. I didn't go down there. I just took their word for it. The others come back bruised up, busted up, stitched up. But I stayed off of their territory. And I got along all right. All right, let's sing a little bit together and worship the Lord. Can we do that? Can we do that? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing away. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it noon or be it night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride... Can you sing it with me? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it noon or be it night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when... Can you sing it again with me? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it noon or be it night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. Now I'll be ready when the... Let's sing it again. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it noon or be it night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I believe I see Brother Cantrell back there and somebody with him. We're certainly glad to have you, brother. Appreciate it, brother. I was thinking about Brother Cantrell the other night. All right, we're glad to have you. We appreciate you so much. How many of you are planning to be ready when the bridegroom comes? I hope that I said something tonight that will help you. I want to help you. My desire is to help you. Folks, to give you eternal life. Glory to God, I want you to have eternal life. And if you'll listen to what I'm saying and believe it, you're going to end up with eternal life. You're going to be saying, oh my God, oh my God. Oh, my God, you know, I really am eternally alive forevermore. Somebody said, if you do good, no doing good about it. He done all the good I needed. Ain't none good but Him. Hallelujah. I'm eternal, folks. You say, oh, no, I am eternal. Glory to God, I'm eternal. Are you eternal? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing that again. I'll be ready when the bride, not waiting for eternal life now, will be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it noon or be it night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see why I feel so good now? Do you see why I feel so good now? You know, if you're going around trying to live an overcoming life and you're kind of slipping and sliding and wondering if God is going to give you eternal life, or wonder if you're going to make it, or wonder if you're going to be lost, what a miserable life. But folks, when you know you've already passed from death unto life, and you believe that, and you know that you've got eternal life, my God, this is joy unspeakable, and this is full of glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's good. Let's give him another hand. Don't you feel good? Have you got eternal life? Say amen. I said, if you've already got eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Makes me run over. David said, my cup runs over. Ooh, that makes me feel so good. I said, oh my God, I ain't got to worry about all that struggling, all that dying, all them problems. All of it's behind me. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you couldn't believe that, so help me God, I do. So help me God, I do. All right, let's sing this song together, can we? Oh, glory to His wonderful name. Glory to His wonderful name. To my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory. Can you say glory to His name? Glory to His wonderful sweet name. Give Him a wave offering. Glory to His wonderful sweet name. For there to my heart was the blood applied. Hallelujah! Folks, this is revival! This is when you get revived! When you know that God died for you in His body. And know that you have eternal life. And know that you've overcome the wicked one. You love Him? There to my heart was the blood of... Oh, glory to His name. Sing it with me. Oh, glory to His wonderful sweet name. Oh, glory to His wonderful sweet name. And there to my heart was the blood light. Oh, glory to... Do you really believe that, folks? If you really believe that, I want you to sing that with me again. If you really believe that, I know some of you is trying to believe it. But like I said the other night, let's yield up the spirit. Let's yield up the ghost. Let's commit our spirit into His hands. And let's think tonight, let's really believe that because it's true. God sent me a preacher to tell you about the glad tidings of great joy. And the Bible said there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. Why not? Why not? And they said glory to His name, and why not? Oh my God, if you believe that you've done passed over, if you believe that you've done passed over, if you believe that you've done made it, if that means your fears and complex, your bewilderment, all of that's behind you, and all you can do is sing glory to His name. Let's sing it again. Glory to His wonderful sweet name. Glory to His... Somebody say praise the Lord! To my heart was that blood of light. Oh, glory! Give Him a wave offering! Sing it again! Glory to... His wonderful sweet name. Oh, glory to that wonderful sweet name. There to my heart was that blood applied. Oh, glory to, sing it again. You believe it, sing it again. Oh, glory to that wonderful sweet name. Oh, glory to that sweet Jesus name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to. Can you say, I love you, Jesus? Can you say, I love you, Jesus? Do you mind calling the name? Can you say, Jesus, I love you? Can you say, Jesus, I love you? Oh, glory to that sweet Jesus name. Oh, glory to that sweet Jesus name. Oh, there to my heart was that blood. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, I call Him precious. I call Him sweet. I call Him darling. I call Him everything. Sometimes in the nighttime, I say, oh, sweet, wonderful delight, precious delight. Oh, golden opportunity, precious Holy One of Heaven. Oh, my God, I say, I'm so glad. I'm on my knees. I'm in the night. I'm by myself. Nobody's here. Oh, glory to His name. Can you sing it? Over in the morning, you say, glory to that sweet Jesus name. Oh, glory to that sweet Jesus name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. While we're singing and praising the Lord tonight, the altars are open. Going to sing that one more time. Can we sing it one more time? The altars are open. Oh, glory to that sweet Jesus' name. Oh, glory to that sweet Jesus' name. There to my heart was His blood. Hallelujah! Glory to that name. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And come on, folks, sing it with me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when the bombs are falling. It will do when the bombs are falling. It will do when the bombs are falling. And it's good enough. You know what? With that Persian thing, they're liable to fall any time. Give me that old time. You like that old time religion? Talking about the old time religion now. Reaching all the way back to Calvary. Hallelujah. Not less what Grandma and Grandpa had. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Enough for me. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. And it's hallelujah. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Hallelujah. It will keep us all from dying.
It will keep us all from dying. It will keep us all from dying. Not for me. He gave me that old time. Gave me that old time religion. Gave me that old time religion. It was good for the Hebrew children. Good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it gave me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Enough for me. It's what took us all to heaven. It's what took us all to heaven. It's what took us all to heaven. That's why it's good enough for me. It's that old time religion. It's that old time religion. It's that old time religion. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand? Can you praise the Lord? Are you glad tonight for the old time religion? Do you feel like you passed from death unto life? Do you feel like we're in camp meeting? Do you feel like you're being revived? Do you know what revival is? Glory to God, I feel revived, don't you? If you feel revived tonight, lift up your hands and say hallelujah. Folks, this is revival. Hallelujah. You say, what is it, Brother Pike? It's the old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And one more time. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody say hallelujah! Glory to God, we expect it! That a king shall reign in righteousness. Are you waiting for the king? Do you want to see the king? Are you looking for the king? Ooh, that makes you want to dance. That makes you want to shout. That makes me want to do all kinds of things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One day I was up here and I got to singing and I just got to dancing a little bit, you know. Hallelujah. I do that a lot of times at home, you know. I get to go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. The Bible said David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of my friends. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good. Sing it with me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Enough for me. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said we got to go home. Folks, I'm already at home. Hallelujah. I'm in God's house. Hallelujah. You love Him? You love Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength? Do you really? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you love your enemies? Do you want to do good to them to despitefully use you and pray for them that persecute you? Do you? Do you? Oh, my friend, I feel God here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Uramandaramasiandaramashandaramasiya. Ulamandaliandalabosandalamaya. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them while Peter was preaching. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel Him falling. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah!
sing this little chorus together. Can you sing it with me? Mm-hmm.
I don't want your gold or silver.
Sing it with me.
I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus to me. Hallelujah. He's everything.
A little more time to worship Him.
I don't want, hallelujah, gold or silver. I don't want, oh hallelujah, the diamond ring. I'm satisfied with this loving Savior for to me. One more time. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond ring.
Hallelujah!
All I want is the love of Jesus. Yes, to me, He's my everything.
Somebody say hallelujah. And the King shall reign in righteousness. Hallelujah. God loves you. God wants to use you. We're going to sing this little chorus together. It's called Jesus Use Me. Let's sing it together now. Come on, if you want to be used of God.
Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord help, I will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work.
Will you do it, folks? Sing it again. Will you do it?
Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help, I will to crumble. For the cross is going to be great sometimes.
Do you mean what you're saying? One more time.
Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord help, I will to crumble. For though the cross, oh hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, I believe you mean it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Are you ready for God to use you? Arise, put on thy beautiful garments. Hallelujah, Zion, put on thy garments. For thy light has come. Hallelujah, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let that light shine. Oh, hallelujah, the wisdom of God maketh your face to shine. Let that light shine. Let that wisdom come forth. Let that understanding of godliness come forth. Let the world see it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what a beautiful thought. What a beautiful thought. When I get to thinking like this, I begin to think everybody ought to know. I begin to think about world evangelism.
Oh, hallelujah. And I get to thinking, everybody ought to know. I wonder if we can sing that, everybody ought to know. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord is wanting to do something. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who this Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. Can you sing it with me? And he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it with me. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and my bride and my morning star. And he's the fairest of 10,000. Oh, everybody ought to know. It's amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind. Hallelujah. If you had to slip on over tonight, when you like to feel like this, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears. Do you believe that? Do you believe you got that eternal life by grace? Oh, how precious did that grace appear. It was that hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. I'm gonna wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. So, Lil, can you sing this little song with me? Come from the east and the west. Give me another case, sister. And they'll come from the east and the west. Did you ever ask God to give you the heathens? And they'll afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are. Can you sing it with me now? Beholding his face, all glow with this light divine. We're blessed
partakers of God's grace as gems in His. Hallelujah! Can you sing that again? They'll come from the east. The Bible said, and they'll come to your shining. And they'll come to your shining. Shine. Let your little light shine. You believe they'll come? They're coming to the ends of the earth. God, give us the heathens for our inheritance. Let us hear from Cuba, God. Let us hear from Africa. Let us hear from Nigeria. Let us hear from Europe. Let us hear from Australia. Let us hear from around the world, from the Holy Land. His hallowed face aglow with His light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in His crown to shine. I want you to bow your heads with me now. Lift your hands up. Let your spirit go out to the Lord. We're not going to try to pray for the sick tonight. We will be praying for the sick before the camp meeting's over. The Lord moved. We've had some real movings of the Spirit. God is trying to condition your heart. He wants to do something with you. The members of the body of Jesus, they've grown stale. They've not been used, folks. You know, sometimes we say we have to have open house. We don't have to have open house and let all kind of confusion come in to get the Holy Ghost to move, to get the Spirit to move. What we've got to have is order. And then God will begin to speak. God will begin to do things. Oh, He's here tonight. He's here tonight. And He wants to speak to us. And He wants to tell us things through tongues and interpretation, through prophecy, through the laying on of hands as the divine deliverance, through discernment, through all the wonderful things of the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's so wonderful. Many of you are standing here tonight. I know for sure I can pick it up. You're standing here just desiring a word from God. Just longing to have a word from God. And folks, you can have it so many times in our tent meetings and different places. We prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. And we pray for the sick and we give a word. And even the camp meeting. You know, but we need to press in. We need to love Him. We need to mellowize our hearts. We need to believe in the supernatural. You've got to believe in the supernatural. See, God is a spirit. You enter to His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And that's the way you have to worship Him. You can't get into His gates unless you transformate into it with your mind of thanksgiving. Because He is a spirit. His gates are holy gates, spiritual gates. The everlasting gates of the spiritual angelic being within you. So then we want to worship Him and we want to love Him. Folks, cherish your eternal life. Jesus told them one time they were casting out devils. And I mean they were casting out devils. And they came back and they were rejoicing, saying, oh, what a revival. Jesus said, nay, don't rejoice over that. He said, folks, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's the revival. You've escaped the lake of fire. And you're helping others. You're pulling them out of the fire. So this is the revival. This is what I want you to do. I give you eternal life. All the others just a follower up. You'll lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You'll cast out devils in my name. But folks, the main thing is your name written on the Lamb's book of life. Is my name written there? Ooh, that makes me feel good. Hallelujah. Brother Cantrell, every time I think about that, there's something that goes through me. I'm eternal. I'm alive forevermore. Glory to God. I don't have to get old. I don't have to get weak. I don't have to do anything. I'm alive eternally. I'm alive forevermore. And my strength is as my day. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oh, somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, glory to God, it's true anyhow. Hallelujah. Thou boughtest thou, I love the Lord. Glory! God gives us that belongs to us, beloved friend. We're God's people. God's people. While you're standing here, lifting your hands up, closing your eyes. Since I see Brother Cantrell back there, I'm going to ask him to come up and dismiss you tonight to pray with you. Let's worship him, folks. You never know what he'll do. You never know what he'll say. He's calling to you. He's calling to you. God is calling to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that the prophets begin to show their little faces because the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. Hallelujah. Can you hear the voice of the turtle? He's cooing to you. He's calling to you. Hallelujah. He's calling his mate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's getting closer and closer all the time. He's getting closer. See, he's calling to you. Can you answer him back? Does your spirit answer him back? Oh, beloved friend, let your spirit answer him back. He's calling. He's cooing to his mate. While I was over in Israel, I thought, I'm going to see them turtle doves that Solomon was speaking about. Well, the turtle doves over here look pretty much alike. And sure enough, here come a whole bunch of turtle doves. And I looked, and here was turtle doves cooing to their mate. Cooing to their mate. And the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. Oh, hallelujah. Can't you hear him cooing? I know you do. I can tell the way you act. Can't you tell him he's cooing at you? Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah.